What's up, my peeps? This is our podcast, Lessons from the Sun. I'm Nina Riccardi, and I'm the sun.
And I'm Tony Riccardi, his pops. We're here to share our personal conversations with you. We'll dive into lessons we learned within sports and our everyday life.
Or crack some jokes and have some fun. And you'll get to hear how much I bust my father's chops.
Hey, listen, we're close, but I'm still your father.
All right, pops, I get it. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Sun. I'm Nino Riccardi.
And I'm Pops.
And what are we going to be talking about today, Pops?
We're going to be talking about what can we learn from the captain, the series about Derek Jeter, and the Subway series. How's that sound to you?
All right.
This should be a pleaser for our Yankee fans out there.
Yes.
And
no, it shouldn't be because the Mets beat the Yankees in the first game of the Subway Series.
This is true. I bet you there's a lot of Yankee fans that are a little sore right now with the Yankee fans. So we'll give them some love and pump up the history of the Yankees. The past.
Not exactly the history. It's not like the 1900s.
Well, it's still
like
the history.
Like when you were born.
It's still the history if it happened in the past. You know? So we'll make them feel better. First of all, why were you willing to sit and discuss? You're a Met fan. Why are you willing to sit and talk about Derek Jeter, the series, and even watch it and even discuss it as a Met fan?
Because two reasons. First, the Mets don't play the Yankees. I mean, or the opposite. They don't play the Yankees that much. And, like, I am okay with the Yankees. Like, oh, they're cool. Like, nice.
And what about Derek Jeter?
Derek Jeter, I think he's amazing. He's my favorite player from the Yankees. Not all time. Babe Ruth was my all time, but
okay. So you admire him?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about game one. By the time our listeners hear this, game two would be over. Game two is tonight of when we're recording.
Yes.
But let's talk about game one since the Mets won as much as possible.
Yes.
And then jump into Derek Jeter.
Okay. We're going to talk about the Mets beating the Yankees first, and we're going to talk about the Yankees?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll make the Yankee fans feel better by talking about a Yankee great after we talk about them losing to the Mets.
I think it should be the opposite. We should end off with, like, the Yankees telling everyone that we beat the Yankees.
Do you remember what happened in the first inning?
Yeah, I do. I know one of two players, Anthony Rizzo, I don't know who other it was, hit a home run off Tujan. What's his name?
Taiwan
Walker.
Yeah, it was Judge that hit a home run.
And Anthony Rizzo.
Yes, first Judge and then Rizzo. And I said to you after they hit those home runs, do you remember?
No, I don't.
At least they were solo home runs with no one on base.
At least.
It's only two runs. It's no big deal.
Only one.
Yeah.
That's two of only three runs that they'll score that day.
So the Yankees came out hot. They were super aggressive. Yeah. That was impressive on the Yankee side. They came out super aggressive in the first inning, hitting home runs. And then what happened the rest of that first inning? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
You don't remember what happened?
No, I needed to do... my mom made me do some math work.
Okay. All right. Well, did they score any more runs in that first inning?
Yes.
No, they did it.
I don't know.
So Taiwan Walker...
My mom made me do math work. It's her fault.
So Taiwan Walker settled down after giving up two home runs in a huge playoff type of game, even though it wasn't a playoff, but it felt like a playoff game.
It's more like a World Series.
So what happened with Taiwan Walker? What did he do? What did he do after giving up two home runs?
He settled down.
Settled down. And did he come unraveled? Well, he didn't give up any more runs in that inning.
Well, not in that inning. I'm talking about in the game.
In the game, he did not come unraveled.
A tiny bit.
He actually kept his composure and kept the Mets in a position to win. Because in the bottom of the first inning, do you remember what happened in the bottom of the first inning?
The Mets scored.
They did. Do you remember who or how or what? Okay. Marte.
No, I don't.
Marte hit a home run. And that got them on the board right away. Marte came out aggressive.
Yeah, Sterling he Marte. Did.
Alonso got a big double. Escobar hit a home run. So it was two home runs in the bottom of the inning. And then that put the Mets ahead already in the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
So do you know about Taijuan Walker, what he did the rest of the game?
He pitched more or less a good game.
He did. He only gave up one more run in six innings against the Yankees, who have a really great offensive team.
Yes.
He kept his team in. And then, so it was like 5-3, Mets winning. And then, do you know what Jeff McNeil did at the end of the game?
He hit a nice hit.
Yeah, because we watched it. That's what I'm saying. He broke out of his slump, got a hit, and got some insurance run.
Yeah.
So it was now 6-3.
6-3, yeah.
So Edwin Diaz comes in.
And then?
Ottavino gives up two outs. He gets two outs.
And he gives up two outs.
He gets two outs, and then they bring in...
Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
And the king.
To face Judge.
Yeah.
Or to face Joey Gallo. One of them. Yeah. I don't remember now.
And but, then he strikes him out.
Yeah. And Edwin Diaz comes in the third, in the ninth inning. And you actually didn't see this part.
Because what was I doing at the... Oh, I think I need to go upstairs and take a shower, I think.
Yes, correct. So, long story short, he came in with uber confidence.
Uber.
Uber confidence. And he actually made like an error in the middle of the inning. So he walked a guy and he made an error. And I think it was a walk. And it was like first and second. And he had to continue to mow people down. And he just buckled down and got the outs. Yeah. And the confidence level that I saw, it's a confidence level I've never seen in him before.
Well, of course, he's playing against the Yankees.
Right, but I mean, you've been watching the Mets for a lot of seasons now. And you've watched Diaz for a couple of years. And do you remember him kind of going up and down with his like emotional levels?
Oh, yeah.
And this was, there was no down last night.
I saw him one game. I really do not remember. It was like, he's like screaming into his hat.
Yeah.
Spitting into it. Yes. Throwing it down on the ground.
Yeah, he was getting like highly emotional. Exactly.
And I don't remember what game it was, not even what season it was. But.
Listen, he has amazing stuff, but he was able to control his emotions. And the other thing on a technical level is he's throwing more strikes. He is, I mean, he's throwing 100 mile an hour fastball, and then he's throwing his slider like, for 90. But he's getting it all in the zone. And he has tremendous amount. And he pitched up to like Judge and got him to chase. It was amazing. So
I would have pitched down on him, but
there are two Mets players that really illustrated a lot of resilience last night that we just discussed.
Jeff McNeil and Alcides Escobar, right?
I would say Taijuan Walker. I'm not arguing about Jeff McNeil. He did break out of his slump to get a hit. But Taijuan Walker, he gave up two home runs out of the box and settled down and kept the game in check for another six innings. So to me, that takes a lot of guts. When the Yankees come out hitting home runs, instead of unraveling, he reined in his focus and didn't lose. He didn't stray from his game plan. And Edwin Diaz had a pitch with runners on and keep his composure.
Yeah.
So same thing with McNeil. Sure, he broke out of a slump and got the big hit when it counted.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Met fans, Yankee fans. So sorry. Not really, but...
Sorry, not sorry, Reese's.
Sorry. The first commercial. Sorry, not sorry, Reese's.
Oh, yeah. We should get sponsored by them.
And, you know, just to make us Yankee fans feel better. Us Yankee fans. Those Yankee fans out there feel better.
We're not Yankee fans. I mean, a tiny bit.
We'll climb into the captain.
Like, on a side note, I like the Yankees more than the Marlins. Did I tell you that?
No, but... If you say it louder into the microphone, the audience might be able to hear it.
I think they heard me.
Let's hear it again.
I like the Yankees more than the Marlins.
Wow.
Of course.
Met fans, I just want you to hear that. I think we have somebody that may be a potential Yankee fan someday. I hear it in his voice. I don't feel the Met loyalty at all.
I'm a Mets fan.
I'm a little concerned. Just want you to know.
I'm a Mets fan.
So, long story short...
I said my top, when we talked about top three teams, I don't remember that one. It was Mets, Yankees, Marlins.
Yeah, it's public knowledge. It's public knowledge. We know this. It's on record.
Yeah.
But you're talking a lot about the Yankees. I don't, you know, listen.
You're the one who wanted to talk about the captain, mind you, so.
So let's jump into some lessons we've learned in the first two episodes.
Or unless I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're never wrong. We know that.
No, I'm way more right than my dad, though, and way younger.
So let's talk about Derek Jeter's upbringing in history. Let's talk about his history. What do you got for me? What do you recall about his upbringing and his childhood?
Well, he says himself that he also written a book too, but in the show, he says like I had a very diverse upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Like his mom was white, mm-hmm. His dad was African American.
Right.
And he grew up, like he said himself, that nobody outside Michigan have ever heard of Kalamazoo.
That's true.
But correct. Now it's probably famous now because of Derek Jeter, but...
Yeah, it is. And they make barbecues that are very expensive. Kalamazoos. Don't worry, we'll never have one. So, Derek Jeter, was he treated in any different way because of his upbringing?
Yeah, he said he was, like, some of, like, his friends were, like, some of his person that lived in his community, the white people, like... did not like him as much. And the same thing with the black people, because he was like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so his parents really had to prepare him for that, right?
Yeah, he did.
You think that
they did?
That could be very disheartening to a kid. So what did he have to have?
He had to have resilience and mental toughness.
Yeah, he had a lot of mental toughness. And he wasn't on his own. He had his parents to help him.
And his sister. But his sister was younger.
Yep. And... do you remember how his parents met?
Yeah, I do. In Germany during the Vietnam War.
And so do you know why they were in Germany? Do you remember?
Yes, for the Vietnam War.
They were in the military.
They went into service.
Yes, they were both in the military. And so what do people with military backgrounds have a lot of experience in?
Diverse cultures?
Yes.
Tough situations?
Absolutely. Super tough situations. And what's the life of a person that's in the military filled with every day? Do they wake up and they just kind of like do whatever they want?
No, they gotta wake up at like certain time, like in order.
Right. So they have
very structured.
They have a lot of structure and a lot of
discipline.
Exactly. So do you think that they probably instilled that into Derek and his sister?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, I think that having that structure was extremely helpful for him. And they talked about their curfews. They talked about plans and goals. And they had, you know, agreements about how the schoolwork had to be done correctly and what grades he would get. And they talked about their future goals as well. Mm-hmm. And were the parents... what did the parents kind of do with Derek and his sister?
They, like, made him be also in, like, a strict, like, not strict, but, like, a strict order, like, because, like, Derek's parents, because I read in the book, it didn't say about this in the thing, like, he had, like, a schedule that when he came home, the first thing he needed to do was do his homework.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was allowed to play baseball. Like, with his friends outside. And then, for the rest of the time, it was just, like, chores.
Yeah. And so, he had a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah.
Were his parents very involved in his upbringing? Or were they kind of hands-off?
I think both.
I think they were, like, very involved. Tell me why you think they were not involved.
No, not involved. But, like Derek Jeter said, he would always go to his grandmother's house for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, like, because he's in Michigan. There's no, like, major league team.
There is a major league team in Michigan.
No, I mean, like...
And one of your neighbors plays for them.
I mean, that he liked. That's what I meant.
Well, can we make sure we tell the audience the major league team that's in Michigan?
I know it.
Please tell the audience so that they know.
They know already. The Detroit Tigers. I know, Dad. My dad was mouthing it to me. I knew.
Well, I just wanted to make sure the fans out there know. Because you said there's no Major League team in Detroit. Do you remember why he became...
And I forgot to say that he liked.
Got it. That he liked. I understood. And you know why... What was his baseball team?
His team was the Yankees.
And you...
Growing up.
And that's because of...
His grandma.
That's right. So... You know, the whole family was kind of involved with the sport. From the grandmother, down to the parents, down to the kids. Do you remember there was a word in his house that was considered a curse? And you can say it on this podcast.
I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the word. I can't.
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 It's a four-letter apostrophe curse word. He was not permitted to say that word. What do you think the benefits of not saying I can't are? Well, if you say I can't, what's the downside? Let's start with that.
That your mind thinks that you can't. Because, like, your mind is, like, really powerful. If you just say I can't once, it's going to be, very hard to go back to it.
Right. And what happens to your mindset when you say I can't?
It, like, lose.
Well, try it right now. And I say, you can't. You can't. I can't. I can't do this podcast. What happens?
That... I can't, like your mind says, no, I can't do this podcast.
You go into a negative thinking, right?
Negative mindset.
And you limit yourself by saying, I can't.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why his parents
never allowed him to say, I can't.
Let's jump into his baseball career. You know, he had a very successful high school career.
Yeah, he actually got drafted in high school.
He did, and...
He didn't go to college.
What did he do that was different than the other players to make him successful?
He worked hard.
He worked harder and longer than everybody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
They said, like, one of his high school coaches said that, like, he was the first one to get there and the last one to leave.
Mm-hmm. And he was the best player and he still did all that.
Yeah. And on a side note, too, he was also amazing at basketball, they said.
Yes, he played multiple sports.
Yeah, they said, like, there's never a shot that he wasn't comfortable from.
So for those coaches out there that believe great players can only play one sport, there's an example of a player who played two sports.
And
he's in the Hall of Fame right now.
And there's a documentary about him.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of people, like, not a bunch of people, but there's people in the Hall of Fame. They don't have documentaries about them.
Exactly.
Their jitter was different.
And... He worked hard, he did what he needed to do, and he understood the importance of working hard. Now, there was something that his parents felt that if he didn't play baseball, he would still be expected to work hard in whatever he does.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm. I wonder where it came from.
I was saying that even before.
I'm staring at my dad right now because he can't see.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether, you know, whether you're playing the drums or... Playing basketball, or doing your homework, or doing your chores. You want to work hard and compete. Work hard with what you're doing. And that's the lesson that they were trying to teach him.
Yes.
And, you know, even your coaches even say that. Is whatever it is, you're preparing to work hard and fight and compete.
Yes. Fight.
So, he gets drafted by the Yankees. He gets drafted a lot lower than he thought he would. And he drops to the Yankees, which he's extremely amazed about. But... Do you recall how his first season was in playing?
He said it was horrible.
Horrible. How did he deal with it?
Not well. He said, like, he was calling his mom and dad, like, I want to go home. Like,
yeah.
When like, say, I can't do this anymore. Like, when do I say I quit?
Mm-hmm. And he cried. He said it on TV. He cried every night. He cried almost every night. He wanted to go home and quit, like you said. And he wanted to give his money back on the contract that he got paid. He's like, can I give the money back?
And his dad says, like, no, you're not giving the money back.
You're not giving that. And his mother told him to come home. And his dad stepped in and said, he's not coming home. So even in the house where they had so much structure and so much unity, his mother was trying to be there for him. But his father had to step in and kind of give him a little tough love.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Imagine that feeling that you want to come home because you're having such a hard time.
Yeah.
And a parent says, no. I mean, of course, he's in high school. Well, not in high school. He's 18 years old, but high school age. It must have been tough for him.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think?
It must have been really tough, too.
Do you think that Derek Jeter looks back on his father stepping in and say, man, I'm glad he did?
Yeah.
Right? Imagine if he would have let him come home.
We probably would have not known about him. We probably would have not been talking about him. At least two of, like, at least multiple World Series that the Yankees won would have not been for him.
Mm-hmm. And how did he get home? If he came home. Exactly. Exactly. And he's the captain and he's unanimously voted.
Unanimously.
How did Derek Jeter work through that terrible first professional season that he had? How did he work through it? What did he do?
He went back to single A.
What did he do personally with his habits?
He, like, changed them and, like, he just worked hard like he was in high school.
Exactly. He continued to work hard because all the coaches saw that he continued to work hard and play hard despite his adversity.
Yeah.
So he really showed that he knew how to deal with adversity.
He did.
And in the second episode, we start to dive into success. They tell the story about how he has a great, successful first full season. And they make it to the World Series and win it.
Yeah.
And they talk about some of the traps and some of the issues with success as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah. But we don't want to spoil it at the same time.
But it's out already. That's why we can talk about it.
But what about the people who didn't watch it?
All right. So if you didn't watch episode 2 yet, put us on pause, go watch it, and come back.
Okay.
That's your warning. So let's talk about how he dealt with success.
So he dealt with success, like, really good because, wait, who was it again that told him, like, he told, like, I'm going to be there for you when...
A former Met.
A former... Daryl Strawberry.
Got it. Good job.
Daryl Strawberry told him, like, if, like... Because I've been in a lot of bad situations before about, like, the famously stuff. And it's like, if you ever, like, need something about that, like, just ask.
He had someone around him that was kind of trying to be supportive.
Yes.
And you know, Daryl Strawberry was on track to be a Hall of Fame player as well. And the mistakes that he made and the people that he had around him.
Yeah.
Now, he's still responsible for it, but he didn't have good people around him.
No.
Right? Didn't. And so Daryl Strawberry wanted to try and change that for Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
So what's the lesson we learned from that situation between Daryl, what Daryl did and what Derek did?
Well, Daryl, at the same time, he didn't have someone to tell him, don't do this, don't do this, don't hang out with these people. But that's what Daryl did for Jeter, to not let him go into the same downhill.
Yeah.
Even though he was, like, uphill playing, but he was, like, downhill on his famous, like, career.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Well, maybe Daryl did have people around him. Maybe he didn't listen.
Maybe.
So what's the point?
It's not Daryl Strawberry. It's not the Strawberry.
It's the straw man.
The straw man. It's the captain.
So what's the lesson we learn about what's around us?
That you need to know who you're dealing with.
You need to surround yourself with
good people.
Right.
You can't surround yourself with bad people or else it's going to look bad on you too.
Now you say good people or bad people, but there are good people that make bad decisions.
Yes.
So we can't really judge if someone's good or bad, you know, if they're a friend of yours, but we can judge the decision.
Yeah.
Right? Because everyone's made a bad decision or a good decision.
Yes.
Nobody's perfect.
No.
So if you notice people are making bad decisions around you, then they're probably not the right people to be hanging out with. And we can learn that from Daryl Strawberry and Derek Jeter.
We can.
Derek Jeter has a very pristine reputation. He admits that he didn't always make the best decisions.
No.
But he was careful enough.
Yes, to be able to be in the Hall of Fame and have his own documentary.
And so...
not many people have that.
They talk about Derek Jeter's success, which most of us know about, the championships and the clutch hitting. And then it moves on to when he's trying to get his contract, because he was at that time making $750,000, which is a large amount of money. But relative terms, it was not a lot compared to the $5 million that he was seeking. And he got into an arbitration or a negotiation with the Yankees Do you remember what the result of that was?
So, like, he did, the Yankees, he said, like, this is the first time I realized that baseball is business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business. Also, too, but it's more of a business. And
yeah.
Like, he said, you don't know how, like, hard it is to, like, telling someone, like, someone telling you that you're not worth the money that you're asking for.
Yeah, right? It's
crazy.
And so he had to make sure he had his guard up and understand that the loyalty was only one way.
Yeah. He was like, but you never want to quote him.
So how can we relate that to the kids out there that may feel the same way about a coach who may not believe that they're as good as the player thinks? And how did Derek Jeter deal with that with the Yankees? What would you do if you were in that situation and the coach told you you're not good enough and you know, you can't play?
I'm going to show him.
How do you show him?
By playing.
Right? And that's what Derek Jeter said too, right? He said, I'm going to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And then I check you off. And did Derek Jeter dwell on it afterwards or what did he do?
He used that for motivation.
And then he accomplished it.
And then he's like, now you should pay me.
Exactly. He got paid. And then what did he do after that? Did he get stuck on it?
No.
What did he do?
He moved past it.
He moved on. He says, okay, his quote, I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, okay, you doubt me. You don't believe me. You don't think I can do it. I prove you wrong. I show you that I'm right. And then I move on. He doesn't get stuck in it. He just moves on. And he felt the same way even about success. He said, after he won the World Series, do you remember what he said after he won the World Series? What he does?
It was like 1 or 2 weeks you celebrate and then it's just grind again.
That's it. Keep working to go do what?
To go get another one.
Yeah. It's kind of like a forward-thinking type of mentality. And you're present in the moment. But if you're going to look in a direction that's not the present, you're looking more to the future versus the past. The present's the most important. But looking back on your accomplishments or your adversity,
defeats,
or your losses or your struggles, and wasting time there,
not really good for you.
Yeah. And, you know, there's another famous person that I heard say that years ago and always stuck with me. His name is Bill Parcells. Do you know him?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you know what his job was?
I think he was like an NFL coach.
Yes, correct.
For the Giants.
Correct. Yes, he won 2 Super Bowl championships with the Giants. And I remember hearing Bill Parcells saying, I'm not very nostalgic. I don't spend a lot of time in the past. I'm always looking for what I'm going to do next. And that always stuck with me. And I tried to do that, to not think about the past. Whether it be a win, whether it be something amazing.
Or a loss.
Or a loss or a tough time. Now, of course, there's a certain amount of things that come up in your memories. You can't stop that. But you can decide not to spend too much time there.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a huge lesson on the Derek Jeter podcast. It's like a hidden one in episode 2. That, he's going to show you. He's going to show you that I can beat you. And then we're going to move on. So I think we got a lot out of the Derek Jeter out of the first 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Can you kind of like summarize a few of the things that you learned from it just to wrap up?
Okay. So like, I'm going to start with yours to get it out of the way. So
no, start with it. Yeah. It's all you.
It's like, don't get stuck on things.
Okay.
Also, do not celebrate for too long. If you have like a really good win, do not celebrate for too long. Maybe like a week or two. Mm-hmm. And then it's just back to grinding, practice. You gotta remember that. And also that you need to know how to overcome your own challenges and difficulties that you may have. And
what did he do to overcome his challenges?
He worked.
He worked harder and longer.
If you're not the best at one, let's say you're not the best at fielding, practice on your own. Be the first to get there. Be the last to leave.
Yeah. Be the first to get there, spend extra time, get there in advance, stay a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And what about some of the stuff that he had to deal with growing up and the things that really helped him to succeed? Do you remember that?
His parents. Way how he was raised.
Yep. And the support that they provided to him.
Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah. And he stayed very, very close with his parents throughout getting drafted by the Yankees, through his whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and that support system. So tons there with Derek Jeter, working harder. Adversity, how to deal with success, structure, not saying the words
I can't.
And the fact that this man who's a superstar, it's shocking to me that he cried every night in his first professional season. I did not know that.
No, me neither.
It was great. And most importantly, what we learned is that the Mets beat the Yankees!
Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for listening. Now please do us a solid and hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, follow our Insta, and if you don't mind, give us a 5-star review.
Hook up my homeboy and help us continue to grow, please. Peace out.